and Richter, continuing from last week. Last week, I at the end spoke about kashering from Fleishik to Milchiks, whether that applies to kashering from to Parv also. We spoke about the Magen Avraham. I'll just recap for a second. The Magen Avraham says in Hilchos Yontif that now there's a minute to not kasher from Milchiks to Fleishik, so from Fleishik to Milchiks. It came into our din over here. And we talked about that L'chayr from the Magen Avraham, it seemed very clear that his Svara should apply to going from Milchik to Parv, also from Fleishik to Parv, because as far as you might use the Kli by mistake for the wrong kind. So what's the difference if it's Milchik, if we're going from Milchik to Fleishik to Milchik to Parv? And I just question that there are people who let people do that. And we question where that came from. Anyway, so afterwards, Yossi showed me some Maram premise in that direction, so we're going to continue that to see that in fact there is a basis to saying such a Shiva.
Saying what?
To say that you might, even though the minig is to not go from Milchik to Fleishik, so from Fleishik to Milchik, to go from one of those to Parv, you'd be allowed to. I'm not saying you can, I'm saying there's basis to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing is like this. He showed me there's a Marsham and a Yad Yehuda. The Marsham, which is what I'll give you afterwards, has two parts to Shiva. We're going to do the second part first. And the second part, he says, the minig is limited to what it was. We don't want to extend minhagim. So the minig is milchik to fleishik, so fleishik to milchik. So to parav not include the minig. We don't go. You don't take the minig any further. Which of course is a chiddush because the minig has a sense to it. You shouldn't make mistakes. So l'chayr the same thing from milchik to fleishik and milchik to parav. It's not really an extension of the minig. Okay, but that's what he says. You don't want to extend the minig. And the Yad Yehuda says, who's the Yad Yehuda?
Yad Yehuda.
It's a very lengthy pirush on Yerdea, on like the Basubah Halter was part of Yerdea, and it's so long that he has two parts. He has a Pirush HaKatzer and a Pirush HaOrach. Okay, and it's very lengthy. There's a lot in there. Most people don't look at it because it's over. They just can't make it all the way through to the end.
I'll tell you that Rabbi first hold that if you have a Machlokes HaPoskim and the Yad Yehuda says something, you follow the Yad Yehuda. He's like the place of Gachem.
Okay. Fine. There's a ringing endorsement. Anyhow, so the Yad Yehuda, it is Kutzer, actually, the son says, he says, Pasha to him that doesn't apply to Parv. He doesn't say any reason. Pasha that doesn't apply to Parv. So, we didn't think of any sort of why it should make a difference the way the Magen Avraham says, but Yossi said, he understands as far. He says, what's the problem? You might use something from, let's say, the Fleishik, and I might use it for Milchik. But in order to use the thing that's Parv incorrectly, you have to first of all forget that you made it, that you haven't kashered yet. So you think it's Parv, but it's really Fleishik. And then the thing that you cut, you think it's Parv. So you cut a tomato with it. Then you have to eat that thing with Milchik. So you have to make two mistakes in order to have a problem. So maybe that's more far-fetched, as opposed to if it's a Fleishik knife, you think it's Milchik, so you might cut a piece of cheese with it. That's more serious.
I don't know about cutting for cooking, I think it's for cutting.
But same thing. For now, we'll say that.
I don't know, if you cook
farm
and inflation the thing,
you're going to
make it's fine, right?
Right, so it's a shadow of not
for
not
for kilos.
Okay,
so actually I'm
so you're saying then there's just a chumra, that itself is a reason to not go further.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see something like that in a minute. Okay, so that's along the lines of what Yossi is saying, that in order to go wrong, it's a lot harder to go wrong in this case.
It's two steps.
You have to make more mistakes, or even if you make a mistake, you won't get that bit off, it'll only be not for not.
When
you are
a
Fleishik knife,
you use the familiar trick in Tasha, you use the familiar trick, and then you're using it back for
Fleishik, you messed up.
If you have it for Parv, and then you use the
familiar trick
or for
Fleishik,
you didn't mess anything up. You didn't do anything wrong.
No, the other way.
First step is...
No, the other way. If you thought you got it to Parv mode, you made it Parv, but it's really still Fleishik, then you can cut a tomato
If he takes a Fleishik knife, right?
You
don't allow him to kasher it and make it milchik, because he might forget, and if he uses for milchik, he uses for fleishik.
Right.
So he's got a problem, he went from milchik to fleishik, fleishik to milchik. So if you take a fleishik and knife, and you kasher it, and you make it parv, what's the mistake that he's going to make?
No, we're talking about going. The Magen Avraham says if you kasher from one to the other, you'll end up having just one set of dishes, and you'll keep switching it back and forth, and you'll lose track of what you were up to. So, 5 years down the road, you keep switching it. Every 2 days, you go back and forth. It's not a one-time thing. It's, you keep going back and forth, so you're going to lose track of what you're up to, and you'll... Okay. So now there's a raya to this. There's a machlokes like this. The Mechaber says that if you have a fleishik knife, okay, you're not allowed to use that knife to cut cheese, even though it's cold, because of the end that's on the edge, on the side of the knife. Not only that, you can even cut a part of a food with it. If you can't even cut bread, his example, you can't even cut bread with it, because then you'll eat that bread together with the nuchuk. That's what the Mechaber says. So the Ramah says, you know, but then you can avoid that problem. You could use the fleshig knife for cutting things by doing the itza. If you cook that list, you can do an itza. That's the way to get the shanunis off the knife, and then you'll be able to use it. That's what the Ramah says. He says, but the minig is to have two separate knives, not to do an itza, not to be so much that you can do an itza. You have two separate knives, okay, which already we're starting to hear hints of what the Mogen Avraham said. Right? This Mogen Avraham's minig to have separate things and not go back and forth. We're starting to hear that. That's what the Ramah is saying. Okay? So on that Ramah, there's a machlokes. The Taz says, when the Ramah said the minig is to have two knives, he meant only on the first case, when you could use a meat knife for cheese. But the second case, when you use a meat knife for bread, that's not a problem. That you could be samachan itza. That's what the Taz says. When the Ramah says that the minig is to not be samachan itza and instead have two separate ones, he meant this for milk and fleshes. But for milk and parf, he had no problem. And that the Ramah, there's no such minig, there's no problem doing the itza back and forth from milk and parf. And the Prima Gosham says, no, what are you talking about? Prima Gosham on that passage says, no, not true. The Magen Avraham's minig applies even to go, and even like this also. You can't do an itza from the milchik to parvus. When the Ramah says the minig is to have two separate knives, he means it even for the second case of the Mechaber, which is to cut bread with the flesh of the knife. Okay, so here we're seeing the simple reading of the Taz and the Prima Gosham is that their machlokes is whether this minig applies even to cases going to parvus. The Taz says, no problem, you can have two separate knives going from. You could do an itza, I mean, you could kasher between fleshing and parv, and the Prima Gosham says that it's not true, that the minig applies even in that case also. Okay, so for now we're going to hold it like that. There's a machlok, it seems a machlok is the time of the Prima Gosham. So now we want to see a basis. We have a Marsham and a Yad Yehuda saying that there's no minig, and we have even an earlier source with that the Taz himself is saying that there's no problem going from milchik to parv. Okay, I want you just to hold that because we'll see another pshat in the Taz in a second. Okay. Another possible way to explain why people go from milchik to parv is a different thing. Not that you're allowed to go from milchik to parv, that you're not allowed to do. But you're allowed to do through libun. If you do libun, then you're allowed to go from milchik to parv, from fleshik to parv, or from milchik to parv. And the whole minute is only by hakol. So of course, the first reaction to that is, the Magen Avraham is talking about libun. The Magen Avraham is on a machaber that says, as if libun is more serious, we'll see in a second why libun is going to be different. Yes, of course. Well, you see, I'm going to get to it in a second. What's the difference? Right. So can I ask you to hold a second? Just hold it. It's coming. The Mechaber's case was the case of Libun. The Mechaber says he's not talking about Shavuos, but it sure sounds like Shavuos. If you make a cheese dish on Yom Tov, and now you want to make a fleshig dish, so you're allowed to kasher, even though you're not allowed to kasher on Yom Tov, because you're going to do libun, and therefore you have to heat the piece of metal anyhow before you cook it. So it's not nirah kamasakin, that's the issue of the kasher, it's nirah kamasakin. It's not nirah kamasakin, because you preheat it anyhow before you cook on it. So there's nothing, to the outside observer, he doesn't see you doing the kashering, it's not nirah kamasakin, you're allowed to do it. So on that, the Magen Avraham says, wait a second, but there's a minig to not go from milchik to fleshig. Okay, so that's what the Magen Avraham was talking about on that thing. So he's talking about the case of libun. Okay, so the Magen Avraham of course holds that this minig applies even by libun. He even if the Mechaber Lechaver is a theory to what I'm saying. Okay, and the Prima Gosham makes this point a bunch of times that it applies to libunos. But the beginning of the Marsham says he has a different shot. He says, I don't understand what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to go from milchik to fleshig because you might make a mistake. He says, make a mistake. I forgot to tell you one piece. He says, make a mistake. He says, you'll put a mark on the kli as to whether it's milchik or fleshig. He says, the Ramah, that said beforehand, that you have to have two separate knives, the Ramah ends off. And what you do is, the minig is that the mark is on the milchik knife. You put a mark on the milchik knife, it's the minig based on something, the mark is on the milchik knife. He says, well, just like the Ramah says, you put a mark on the milchik knife, so we'll put a mark on it. We'll put a blue sticker on it when it's this way, and a red sticker on it the other way. We'll make a mark when we switch. He says, he doesn't say
there's a difference between permanent and temporary.
So that's an obvious question. What he's saying is that the Ramah's talking about you make one time, you put a mark on the tape, on the thing. And hence, the problem is you're going to forget to put the little sticker on. Right. That's exactly right. But that's what the Marsham asks. He says, he doesn't on the same shot like the Magen Avraham. He doesn't think that's the minute. What's shot in the minute? Shot in the minute is, based on the Shaar HaMelech, talks about this minute. The Shaar HaMelech says that the reason for the minute is that you're afraid that the guy's going to kasher before it's in the binyan. If you kasher once in a blue moon, you'll pay attention to what you're doing. If you kasher all the time back and forth, you might forget and lose track of what you're up to, and you'll kasher when it's a binyan. And therefore, there's a minute to not kasher back and forth. So you have to have separate dishes. I mean, when you make mistakes, you'll kasher. But as a rule, you have to have separate dishes, because if you keep kashering, you'll make a mistake and you go to Ben Yoimah. You're by mistake. So Mamela, see, he says, so in cases of Libun, the whole minute is only by Hagola. By Libun, that you can do when it's a Ben Yoimah, you can't go wrong. Whenever you kasher, whatever you do, it'll always work. It won't make a difference. But that's what he says.
Libun Gomer?
He doesn't talk about Libun Gomer or Libun Kal.
Is there a difference for Ben Yoimah?
Yes, I'm about to say.
If you're in New York, Libun Kal.
There's no difference.
New York, they kasher.
Libun Gomer, you for sure could do when it's a Ben Yoimah. Primogazim says, he says, it seems to him that when you do Libun Kal, it doesn't burn the bleas, it draws the bleas out like Hagola. And he says, an Efsher, that's what he says, an Efsher, that if so, you should have to wait until the end of the year. Okay, as if there's a possibility that the bleas could, they're going to come out and they would go back in. And which, of course, like David's saying, which is the sort is that, what do you mean? If it goes out, yes, even let's say it draws it out, how can it go back in? There's no liquidator to let it get back in. Okay? So, the I've heard from Rabbi Belsman, Rabbi Schechter, and most people assume that you can do Libun Kal even when it's a Ben Yoimah. They're not machmir to the Prima Gazim. The Prima Gazim himself doesn't even say you have to do it. He says, Efsher, that you should have to wait till the end of Ben Yoimah. They're not waiting for that. But so, in which case, this Masham would be about Libun Kal also. Okay. And the Pashas is that the case of the Mechaber, he says that his answers up the so to speak, steer between the Minig and the Mechaber. Because the Mechaber is talking about Libun, and the Minig is not by Libun. Okay, so the Mechaber, the Chayra, is doing Libun Kal. Okay, to go from milchik to fleshik, you don't have to do Libun Gomer. So whatever he means, Libun Kal. Okay, whatever he's going by Libun Kal. But now the Marsham has another case where he says you don't have to do where the minig doesn't apply, which is the case he's talking about. Okay, which is if the blia happened only in a way that's not burn out, like in his case, where a hot liquid poured under a powerful pot. Okay, that's what happened. Can you read a hot milk poured under a powerful pot? So that's the case, that's a real not barnat. That's not Ayde Bishl even. He doesn't say it. But he says, in that case, there's no minute, because then you can kasher Ben Yoimah. Because the bleas is not barnat, there won't be any problems with the bleas. Okay, so the Marsham, this is what he says first, the Marsham, like the Shara Melech, that the minute only applies to cases when you can't kasher the Ben Yoimah. So either by Libun, or in his case, where it's not Libun, but it's not barnat, you can kasher Ben Yoimah. So he says there's no minute in that case also. So just, and with this, if I didn't mention, he answers the mysterious of the Mechaber. So now, if you think about it just for a second, if this is true, then we don't have to say what we said before in the Taz. The Taz is not necessarily saying that the minig doesn't apply for milchus to fleishiks. The Taz says, for milchus to parv. The Taz said, when you're going from milchus to fleishiks, there's a minig, you're not supposed to have, you have two separate sets of knives. But when you want to do the itza from fleishik to par, it's not a problem. Okay, maybe that's different over there because ni'itza is something that can be done ben yoimah. So in that case, there's no minig to switch constantly because you can do it ben yoimah. Maybe he's saying like charmel that you can go back and forth, not because milchik to par is different than milchik to fleishik. Meaning milchik and fleishik and milchik to par is all the same thing. Just the difference is it's ni'itza or hagola. And the eats is what you can do Ben Yoimah. Why does he say that you have to have two separate knives? That's like a separate minute. You have to have two separate knives. That's just not a thing, which is really comes from actually from our thing that we were learning, that you're supposed to have separate knives. So Pesach, and for that also, that would be like a separate minute. Okay. To summarize, if you read the Magen Avraham, the simple reading of the Magen Avraham, which is what most people know the minute from, and the Mishnah Berurah brings the minute just from the Magen Avraham, you would assume the minute applies even if you're going to Arav, and even if you're doing Libun. But we've seen that there's a Marsham and the Yad Yehuda who say this, and maybe a Taz, that for Milchik to Parv there's no minute. And then there's a Shara Melech that the Marsham brings that maybe doesn't apply to Libun. Okay, something. So we've seen, I mean, this whole thing, which is just a minute, there's lots
most
of.
Most Poskim are not worried then?
I didn't say most. I said that there's good basis for saying that you should be able to catch the Parv. Well, okay, if that's what you want to go with, that you should go like that. But again, the simple reading of the Magen Avraham, which is where the minute comes from, is that you should not go like this.
So, the way we finished last year was in the industrial setting, we had this big, big question.
Right, okay.
So it comes out now from this that there is Yesh Makom.
Right, so that's a good point. I didn't think of it like that. When we think about, we had asked at the end, is that how come in companies we should cash it all the time? Okay. Right. So to which the answer may well be that since they go from milchus to parav,
we don't kasher. We kasher with a begimah.
Well, we kasher all the time. We have one pot, and they sometimes make parav, sometimes they make milchus in it. So they're kashering all the time. How can you kasher all the time? There's a minute to not. If there's a minute to not kasher back and forth, so how can you kasher all the time? So now we have a basis correct. They're always kashering from milchus to parav, or from treif. Treif is for sure no minute.
Right.
So then we could say that in that case, this was to be samuchan. Of course, the Magen Avraham's problem that you might use the kalim wrong is very much
worse.
In a company because they couldn't care beans about kashrus. They don't care anything about kashrus.
Yeah.
It's not like in your house that it's important to you. To them, it's of no importance. You know what I mean? On the other side,
this is not that.
Okay, correct. There's two sides. Yes, we said that also. Correct. The side whether it applies to
the question is whether it applies to going.
People give back stuff to the government. Correct. Yeah. Everyone. Cool. Well, we talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago. Everyone agrees that going don't have. That's not one shem. There's nothing else to do. Okay, yes, the side is whether we have to map. Okay. Okay, let's go.
Did you talk about Nitzah at all, that what Nitzah today means?
Yes, we did.
So,
and you can watch the video too.
I just want to say, in Buffalo, there were people that were burying their pots.
They were what?
Burying their pots.
Burying?
That's a lie. That's a double punch. I've heard of burying knives, I've heard of.
Yeah, that was
the
double
punch. Pots.
Yeah.
You have to stick it. You're going to keep
I know!
How long do they leave it?
I guess if the rabbi, if they would have had a rabbi who was something, then they would have done better. Okay. Let's learn something in the Shulchan. Okay, you don't have to look inside. Kli Rishon, we're in the middle of Halacha Gimel. Kli Rishon Nikra. We said you have to cast your knife. It's significant. You have to cast your knife for the Kli Rishon. But Kli Rishon Nikra, Shir Sichu for Mayim Halaish. A Kli Rishon is considered if you heat up water in that pot on the fire. Afilu Eina Ata Halaish. Even if it's not on the fire still, Rak Shazen Oseh, as long as it's still Oseh. Okay, now, we're going to see in Halacha Hey that the din of Kabbalah Kachpotoy applies. That if you did something in a klibushin, you kasher in klibushin. If you do a cliche, you kasher as a cliche. What's then, if you did it, it's a bunch of dogs like that. Even in klibushin, eat those different dogs. What happens if it was cooked in a klibushin on the fire? Is there any difference if you kasher it on the fire or off the fire? Armachaber said that it's considered klibushin even if it's off the fire. We know from Hilchos Shabbos.
I don't understand how the fire works because off the fire.
Okay, why?
The stuff's right on the right. I mean, unless you think about how fine the temperature is. But the stuff's right away.
Probably depends how big it is, also. No?
That's the whole show.
So
that's the
reality. Take a big pot. Take up the size of yourself.
In a few minutes, it stops bubbling. What you're saying is the bubbling stops.
Right.
Let's see it.
So the question is, how can it be... I don't think we're going to do it today, but we'll merchant him answer your question. We'll try to answer your question. Okay. No, it's a good question. Okay. But anyhow, so the Machaber says here, we know that something that's not like Abi Eish is considered, the Machaber here says it's considered still a Klevishon, like we know from the Chashavas. But what happens if the Bli originally happened in a Klevishon that was like Abi Eish? Can you capture that thing with a Klevishon Shalei Abi Eish? Okay?
Yeah.
So the tour in Yerdeh and Kuf Chof Aleph, which is the other similar of Hagolos Kehom, for whatever reason, in Kuf Chof Aleph is most of the Torah basis, and in Tos Nun Aleph is less Torah basis, but there's more Shulchan Aruch.
Clarify what you mean by loyal variation, means that you cook it off, and then you took it off and poured it over.
No, it's in the same pot. It's a Klevishon. You took the pot off the fire, you turned the fire off, and then you stick the fork into it. Rather than cooking while the bubbles are still coming up, while it's still, with a fire under it, you just cooked it. The water is still klevishon, but you put it off the fire. I mean, if you take your chalon pot off the fire, it's still considered klevishon.
The same halacha be that when they kosher a lot of things, you put in three things, it stops boiling for about 30 seconds. It does.
Right. No, that's a different thing. No, because even this thing that says you could do Shaloi Gabi Ish means Rosh Adin Rosh. It has to be Rosh, because you have to have a temperature of Rosh. So that it says that if it cools off, you have to wait till it heats back up again. I'm talking about that it's going to stay hot, but it's just not on the fire.
Okay.
But the tour brings 2 days as to whether that works or not. And basically, it says the stricter day says, Kabbalah Kaf Potay. Just like the Bliya, just like we said, the difference between a Klirishin and a Klisheni. So a Klirishin Agabi Eish has a stronger Bliya than Shlai Agabi Eish. Kabbalah Kaf Potay tells us, however the Bliya happened, that they have to get it out. So if the Bliya happened Agabi Eish,
well,
you have to get it. What?
That's
what the Mechilim say. The Beis Yosef says. The others say, not as dramatically as you, but the Beis Yosef says that the others hold that to say Klirish and Klisheni, those are clear, differences between them. But Agabesh, Lagabesh, that's already just like a minor difference. That's not significant enough to say you have to do one thing. That you don't say is my pot has to be the same width and the same. Everything has to be exactly the same, only if something makes a difference. So there's no difference between Agabesh or Lagabesh. It's fire. It's hot as hot. The temperature is all different. Or the clearish is what we're looking for. And that's not important enough to say that since it's Shaloi Agabesh, that should make it a difference. That's what Beis Yosef says to the two sheets. The tour over there says he thinks that the stricter sheet is correct. That if the bli was agave ish, then the hagola has to be agave ish also. Now the machaber in halacha hay, which we're not up to, but in halacha hay, you would think he doesn't say anything about being agave ish. He says it was a klimishin, the hagola and klimishin, klisheni, he like that. He gives a bunch of rules. He doesn't say anything like agave ish or agave ish, which is odd. When they say that in our did also brings this shaila from the tour. Okay, as to whether so the simple reading is, and the Mechaber by us is, what did he say? He says, Anayat Yitin Kasher, if it's, as long as it's in a Klirishin, even if it's not Agave Eish. So the simple reading here, we know the Beis Yosef Shulz Machoikas, right? This Beis Yosef on that tour. So, yet he doesn't say that you need Agave Eish. He sounds like he's being Mako. Okay, the fact that he doesn't make a point of saying that Agave Eish is different implies that he's being Mako. But that's what we would think. But the Prim God says, no. He says, over here, we're talking about a Sakin. The bliya of a sakin happens usually shloya gabi eish. Now, since the bliya shloya gabi eish, that's why in this case the mechaber says you can do shloya gabi eish. But in a case when the bliya would happen agabi eish, then you'd have to do hagolah agabi eish. And it's like the shittas hamachmirim that the Torah brings. Okay, again, the simple reading of the mechaber is not like that. The mechaber says two times looking at kashin in a klirishin and making a difference about it. He doesn't say anything about agabi eish and shloya gabi eish. Implying, and the only thing he does say is one case where he says even if it's not agabi eish. Okay, but the Prim Govan says, no, it's only special by the din of Sakhim.
I mean, there would be a big chilik. Now, it could come out with a major chilik. There's no difference. According to the sheet that will hold it, there's no difference between a garbage and a garbage. So if I stick in a treat into that creation and keep it there for a minute, so this path that comes out now, is that a creation?
Okay, that's
a cliche. I'm going to have to
invite you back in a few weeks. There's a talk about that, whether the ladle is, how much is the cliche. We'll probably do an halacha, I'm not sure when.
Okay.
So let me just say to you, aside from the Prima Gadol who was Machmir Darach HaShulchan and is Machmir, the Mishnah Berurah later only brings one day. He says, Lafi HaYesharimim in the, he says something like, the Torah brings Yesharimim that you have to go, that you have to, if it's Agave Yesh, the Hagol has to be Agave Yesh also. He doesn't bring 2 days. He only brings the one day that you have to be Machmir, that if the Bli was Agave Yesh, then the Hagol has to be Agave Yesh. But it's worth mentioning that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that Chathchila you should be Machmir, but he says for Pesach you could be Mekel. His svar for why Pesach Mekel, I don't clearly understand. We could talk about that afterwards. But he says that for Pesach he could be mekel, that even if the bli was a gabi ish, that'll save you. If the bli was a gabi ish, if the bli is a gabi ish, then you can cast your gabi ish also. For Pesach. Okay.
On Pesach
we're not allowed to cast anything on Pesach. We're casting for chametz, to get the bli of chametz out of something. Okay? It's only worth remembering, I know this is going to sound funny, Lenin, the last thing, they said if you want to cash this thing from milchus to fleshings, you should wait till Pesach, because then you have to cash it anyhow. Then you're going to cash it anyhow. Once you cash it, then you can do whatever you want with it. So if you sign up on these kind of coolers, then you can't do that. Okay. Then you can't make it back from milchus to fleshings. You have to pick and choose what you want. Okay. So now, this thing that we said, that the kli, that if the bli have lagabi esh, you have to cash for lagabi esh, is not negated. So many cases that I can think of, I know not your case, the normal way people kasher, because for example, usually you do hagola in the same way that the bli happens. When do we, in the same kind of a kli, the same kind of a kettle, so if it was agabeish, it's agabeish, it's shalei agabeish, shalei agabeish. The times that we want to do kli rishon, even though the bli was not a kli rishon, are two examples that I know of, is a davar kosh, we have a chomer to treat about the kli rishon, and if a kli sheni was balei a davar chorof, then the Shach says that's also considered like a klivishon. Okay, the bliya of the davar charif and the klishen is also like the klivishon. So in those cases, we'd want to kashal like a klivishon. Now, davar gush is a case the Prima Gadim says. The Prima Gadim says that the guy cutting his knife, the knife has to can be kashered shalei agavi esh because the bliya happens shalei agavi esh. Well, what do you do with the knife? You obviously stuck it into a davar gush. You don't stick knives into soup, right? You obviously stuck the knife into a davar gush. So davar gush, even if it has the chumrah of a kli rishon, it's not agavi esh.
Yeah, yeah.
What? No. Excuse me. The mechaber says you can kasher a knife shalei agavi esh. Prima Gadim says that's because the knife was not used agavi esh. It was only used not a gabi ish, therefore you can kasher shloi gabi ish. What do you do with the knife, shloi gabi ish? Well, you didn't cut soup with it, you cut a double gush with it. And even so, he's saying that even though it's a double gush, and even though that should be treated like a kli rishon, but it's not a kli rishon on gabi ish, then it obviously is logical.
Maybe it was an onion.
What?
Maybe it was a tray for onion.
And therefore?
You have to kasher your knife, but it wasn't double gush.
So you think maybe I can't bring a right to it. Okay, that's not. Okay.
So it's a strange case.
Yes, and I'll okay. So then you'll just have to rely on the svara, okay? Which we're looking here. The machmirim say you have to do agave esh because the bli have agave esh. It's a special koyach to be agave esh. Well, davar gush doesn't have that, and the klisheni that the davar charif may have milas to be like a klishen, but the agave esh doesn't have. Okay, but we have a very real case, and until preparing for this, I did not think of this, which is we have a real case like this where we don't do this. Which is a spray dryer. What's the bli in a spray dryer? The bli happens like IBH. The thing is burning hot with heat pouring into it. And I'm not talking about whether it's considered Gabi Esh for Liban. Let's say it's not considered Gabi Esh for Liban. Liban means mamish of burning fire raging inside of the thing. But it's like Gabi Esh, come on, the thing, there's heat pouring into it, it's 500 degrees in there. It's for sure the bli happens like Gabi Esh. And it's like an oven. And how do we cash it? Well, an oven is really, it is even for Liban, but okay, how do we cash it? How do we catch this thing? We do Haggalah. Now, there are questions as to the type of Haggalah we do. The extended Iyur, that's for a different time. Maybe Halacha Hei. Whether what we do is considered a Kli Rishon. But let's even say it's a Kli Rishon. Okay, let's even accept that the Haggalah we do is considered like a Kli Rishon in a Kli Rishon. It's not a Gavi Esh because you can't have the heat running when you're doing the water. Right. So you might preheat it. Right. So what is it? It's a Kli Rishon, so a Gavi Esh. It's a Kli Rishon, and then you turn the fire off. You cut it off the fire. So we're kashering the spray dryer as a kli rishon shalei agavi esh at most. That's the most.
Oh, it's an animal.
Oh, so I'm saying this is. I'm saying even the people who try to kasher. I'm saying this is. Thinking this through, I never thought of this problem that even after we solve the problem as to whether it needs leaving or hagol, we decide yes, it needs hagol, and we figured out how to do hagol properly, which is its own chokma to figure out how to do hagol properly. And we did all those things, but l'chora we got stuck over here that try as we might, it's going to be shalei agavi esh. And l'chora we're going to be stuck. And I don't know anybody who addressed that question because I just thought of it.
Did you see Rabbi Lubantz? He doesn't dress in
his
like.
I'm going to look at. I will look at this thing again. I just thought of it now. I have to look at it again to see if he told me. How can you make a copy?
No.
If you can do proper handling, the thing with a spray ball, enough water,
yes,
the water's not going to dry. Could that the thing runs, the water won't dry.
You'll turn the fire, the burner on in the while you're drying?
The purpose is it dries up.
I say not only because you use an atomizer that cuts up the
fire. Yes, correct.
Okay? But if you pour from a spray ball, push it away from the fire.
You've got another places. There's places I go to, they can't have the heat on.
I don't know.
Water gets in the wrong places.
But nobody. I don't know anybody who ever tried that. So maybe we have to start.
I do it.
Yeah. You do what?
I do it.
You have to just fire
it on.
Stays on. While you're clean.
And the water comes to somewhere else. Yeah. The water stays on.
Your water goes through spray balls there, or goes through the atomizer?
It goes through the water the water
How hot does the water come out?
The reason is because the water absorbs the heat and it's very
condensed. Okay, so good. So you're doing Allah-ish, not water, and we're doing at least the clean research like Allah-ish. You're doing, that's nothing.
I said, you have to spray ball and you pour enough water.
Okay, there's a point to it. Yeah, we have computerized Ada Binyamin. That's the one thing we do right. Okay, which one? I was really going to do another thing, but I'm not fully prepared on that, which was to explain what Rosh Hashanah is, and that would have answered maybe a question. Mirch Hashem, depending on how people are feeling next Friday, we'll continue.